Last week, we talked about the prophecies of Jesus, that there was a promise of the Messiah, and the journey towards Christmas is what we're looking at over the next few weeks. There you go, there's the title. We're looking at that, and last week we were looking at the journey of the people of Israel, really, and that there was a period of silence, about 400 years from the prophet Micah to Jesus' coming, and then eventually John the Baptist uttering the first words of prophecy again. And in that silence, can you imagine what it was like for the Jewish people? And for us sometimes as well, we said there are times in our lives where it feels like God is silent. But actually God was moving history. If you want to go and listen to that, you can go back and listen to it online. But God was moving history, ready for Jesus to come. And when we can't see God at work, he is. And we need to trust that. Even when we don't feel like it, or we don't see it, or it might seem he's silent, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, the word says. But today we're going to look at the next bit. So skip to these next 400 years. Jesus is going to come. And so there's Mary and Joseph's story. And we're going to look at their two stories and how God spoke to them of what was to come. Now, bear in mind, at this point, when we look at these stories, they didn't know they were going to have to go to Bethlehem. Okay, they knew that Jesus was going to come and they got told that, but they didn't know, I don't think, at this point that they were going to have to go and visit Bethlehem. So here's my question. How do you enjoy planning trips? Do you love planning trips, holidays? It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I know a number of you get away and manage to visit some lovely places. And I remember planning trips on holiday. Even this year, it was wonderful to be back in England and think, where can we visit in England that I haven't been for years? And we went down to Dorset, and it was wonderful to visit some old places we used to visit, go to the seaside there. You get ready, you book your tickets, you know, you pack up eventually, and it's like, yeah, we're going to seaside. I don't know whether you sing that song, oh, I do love to be beside the sea. Anyway, you go on holiday. And, you know, I remember as well, before we went to Brazil, you know, we were waiting a number of years, and then 2014 we got a phone call, is there any reason you couldn't go? And then we started to plan, and that trip was difficult to plan because of visas and stuff, and in the end we went in March 2015. But I remember the feeling very well. I was excited and I was also petrified all at the same time. What am I doing? Why am I taking my family to the other side of the world? Am I crazy? And planning trips can be difficult like that. There can be unexpected trips as well. Maybe a loved one gets sick and you need to go visit, or there's a loss and you've got to come back. I remember well as well in Brazil, on my wife's side of the family, her father died while we were out there and we needed to come back. And it was a difficult moment. Okay, we've got to plan the trip. We've got to decide when we're coming, make sure we get back. And it was sad. And it was hard to organize. And I think when we think about this moment for Joseph and Mary, Moses is not in this story, guys. Do you ever trip up on your words? Zach and I have been talking about it this week. It's okay. It happens. Anyway, Joseph and Mary had to plan a trip. And I imagine it wasn't like ecstatic, exciting. I imagine it was quite difficult. We're having a baby and now we've got to travel. All very difficult. Now this morning, two things, very simple words, are going to come out of this. Trust and obey. When I was growing up, there was a song, some of you know it if you're old enough, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'm showing my age now. There's two sides of this. Mary obeyed. Joseph trusted. And we're going to look at those two stories. So we're going to start with Mary. And if you want to turn to scripture, if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Scroll down. Here we are. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Not Moses. A descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. What a great promise. Did you hear that? I'm not going to preach on this one this morning, but go and read it again. No word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Wow. So, a little bit of scripture background. Luke, really, was written to show Jesus as a servant. He was a doctor. He was written writing more to the Gentiles. I mean to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jewish people. And basically, his focus was more on the normal and the ordinary people. He was showing Jesus as a servant to some degree, Mark more maybe. But anyway, he was looking at that perspective. And if you look at Matthew's gospel, we're going to come to that in a minute, he wrote slightly differently. So here, the focus is on Mary, because many people back then would have been focused on the men, yes? Because that was Jewish culture. The men were the important people. We realize now things are different, but that's why Luke was writing this, and it gave a different perspective to many of historical texts back then. I mean, that was radical in one sense, that he was going, this is Mary's story, okay? And so we read Mary's story, and the angel visits Mary. Anyone ever been visited by an angel? Oh, we have one, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No, I've never had that happen. It would be amazing. I think petrifying and exciting at the same time, wouldn't it? And so anyway, she's visited by an angel, and then she's told she is chosen. Can you imagine that? Okay, that you're being told by an angel you are highly favored. What would you think? Okay, where would you come? I would be overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed. She said, how can this be? And often when God says things like this, and maybe you're in that place, okay, maybe you say, how can this be? Maybe you ask these kind of questions, which I have down here. Why me? Why would you choose me? I'm just Matt Brown in my case, whoever you are. You might just say, well, I'm just me. How? I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I've got the ability or the capability. Imagine she's a teenage girl. So, you know, this is massive news. Why am I so special compared to anybody else? Okay, and all of those questions would be going through her mind. And maybe today, you know, God is saying something to us, but you're asking the same questions. Why? How? Why me? All of those things. But just read this verse. Corinthians 1:27. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Isn't that a powerful scripture? Okay? God chose the things that are not like the things we would naturally choose. Okay? He's not looking for the strongest or the best qualified or the, you know, most handsome, okay? God is looking for humility and obedience, isn't he? And what did Mary do, okay? She responds and she says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me, may your word to me be fulfilled. Gosh, what an example. How often have you been that obedient? It's an interesting question. I'm not that obedient. I'm like, well, maybe next week. Or, I'm not sure the situation is right. I might not do that. We're not that naturally. Mary, in credit to what she's doing here, is incredibly obedient and a great example, isn't she? And God might be asking you something today. He might be saying something to you. I want you to do this. How obedient are you being? Are you responding in the right way? Are you doing, may your word to me be fulfilled, like Mary did? And that's the challenge to us today. Now, obedience today in our society is not very popular, is it? when we're saying everyone should be individual, we should be independent, okay? In fact, authority figures are very much spurned, aren't they, really? Like, you think about it, our politicians, we don't hold them in high esteem, do we? We don't even like our royal family very much these days. The things like teachers in school, I know I was a teacher and I see lots of reels about teachers who talk about the lack of respect and the difficulty in classrooms these days as well. And so obedience is a really difficult thing to get hold of, isn't it? And following Jesus means obedience. We have to be countercultural. We have to be listening and going, he's the guy in authority. I must listen to him. I must obey what he says. It is the key that will unlock God's blessing. When we're obedient, when we step into the purposes of God, now that blessing doesn't necessarily mean things will get easier. Sometimes they might even get harder, which we see with this story, actually. It got harder for them, but it brings the blessing of God in the end, doesn't it? And the journey might be difficult. Mary didn't know what was to come at this point. When the angel was speaking to her, she, in some ways, she didn't know what her yes meant. And sometimes when God speaks to us and we say our yes, we don't see the full picture, but we have to trust that God is in control. And so, there it would come. They would have their trip to Bethlehem. They would have a birth in a stable, all of those things. But she didn't really know that when she said yes. She was obedient. Let's learn to be obedient. So let's look at Joseph's story now. Matthew chapter 1. So we change. And by the way, only two Gospels speak about the birth narrative of Jesus. That's Matthew and Luke. Okay. And so Matthew wrote more to the Jewish people. He tended to focus. So in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, you read the genealogy of Jesus, because it was very important to see the line Jesus came from and who he came through, that he was the Messiah. And he was showing Jesus as the Messiah, the promised king that would rule and reign and save his people. And so here we are. We get Joseph's story. Okay. And let's read it. So this is Matthew 1, 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want you to get hold of that verse. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. So, here we go. This is more Joseph's side of the story. Now, verse 19, Joseph was a man of honor, wasn't he? If we look at verse 19, we read this. I'm going to read it to you again. It said this: because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He wanted to do the right thing, according to God, according to the law, but he also didn't want to expose Mary. In here shows us a great picture of how we should respond to things. We need to do God's will, but we need to be kind. We don't expose other people in an ungodly, unloving way, do we? Okay? It's a great picture of an honorable man, of someone who wanted to do the right thing. But then we read on, don't we? And he had that dream. And God spoke to him through the dream. God does still speak through dreams, by the way. And we can see in Scripture many times God speaking through dreams. Speak of Joseph, of Daniel. You can go and look at those stories. I know that there's been times where God has prompted me through a dream to do something, and I've done it. And so watch out for your dreams. But it shows him specifically that he can be confident in God, that he can trust what God is doing. An angel again is sent to him, isn't he? Just like Mary saw an angel, but he sees it in a different context, out of a dream, doesn't he? And then he decides to be obedient like Mary, but it's about trust. So just imagine, even after this dream, I imagine Joseph, as a husband, would be thinking, well, if I take her as my wife, I will be exposed to public ridicule. Also, we could be outcast from society. In fact, according to the law, if the people around decided that she had had an adulterous affair to get pregnant, they could have said, well, we need to take her aside and have her stoned. Those kind of crazy things were possibilities. Just imagine yourself in that situation. Even though God has spoken to you, you would still have those things in mind, wouldn't you? And yet, he chose to do the right thing. And he chose to take Mary as his wife. It shows a huge amount of trust in God, doesn't it? Okay? A huge amount of trust in God. And trust is hard when we don't see the way. I can imagine he was thinking, well, how are we going to do this? Where is it going to go? How am I going to explain to people how she got pregnant, you know, like my mum and dad, her mum and dad, whatever, you know, those kind of things. It would be really difficult, wouldn't it? But he went, no, we're going to go with this. And even if I can't see the way right now, I'm going to trust. How do we know it will be all right? Will we be provided for? Will the outcome be good? Maybe you've had those questions when God has said, you know, this is the way I want you to go. And you've gone, well, I don't see a way forward. Or maybe you're stuck in a place and you're like, I don't see the way out. When it's dark, it's when we trust, okay? We don't trust the circumstances. I think I found this, well, I didn't find this statement. This statement came to my mind. We don't trust the circumstances. We trust the one who holds the circumstances and who knows the beginning from the end. So when your circumstances aren't favorable, you're not trusting in them. You're trusting in him, yes? And the one who will work it out. A couple of weeks back, I went up to Fenland Church, and it was wonderful to be with Ed and Marilyn. We had a good group of people. They work with people with learning difficulties, disabilities, and it's a special church where they really focus on that. And actually, the thing he did, he was focusing on Joseph, and he was focusing on three dreams Joseph had, because Joseph had this dream, but he also had a dream to go back to Egypt after the wise men had been, to keep them safe, and he did that. And then he also had another dream when he was in Egypt to come back and live in Nazareth, and he obeyed and was obedient. And he was saying, and getting this across in a really easy way, Joseph trusted God. Yeah? And so everyone could take that away. Joseph trusted God. Do we choose to do the same thing? Do we choose to trust God when God says something and we have to step forward? Are we prepared to put our trust when we can't see the way, when we're not sure how to fix it ourselves? God calls us to trust. And my last point is this. So let's go to the next thing. The Holy Spirit conceives things. And the verse was verse 20. I said to take note of it, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God said to Joseph, that's what's going to be. So you must trust it. And it was one of the reasons Joseph could trust, because the Holy Spirit was giving birth to this. Now, we need to know that what God is telling us is God and is the Holy Spirit and isn't just our will or our choice or our whatever it might be, but we can trust God when we know it's the Holy Spirit. This story, you know, many in the world now would go, Mary wasn't really a virgin. They've tried to box it up because it's beyond our realm of understanding in enlightenment world, isn't it? We can't grasp the fact that a baby could be born to a virgin. It was miraculous. It was impossible. It could only be God, yes? Okay, and we believe that. If we don't believe that, if we start to mess with that as a church, we start to mess with the omnipotence, omnipresent, omnipower, all those things of God. God can do anything, can't he? And so this virgin birth was a virgin birth, okay? And God was giving birth to something new, and it was going to come from Joseph's wife. And how could he argue against that when God himself has said, this is conceived of the Holy Spirit? When God is doing something new, it's birthed of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And you can't deny it, okay? So I've put down a few things here that might happen for us when we're thinking about, is God in this? Is God birthing something new by his Spirit, okay? You might get a revelation, a new understanding of who God is. Through someone giving you a word, maybe, from God. Someone might come along, I feel God is saying this. And then you test it against Scripture. You don't just take it for granted, you test it against Scripture. Maybe you're getting promptings. You're getting little nudges. I want you to go this way. This is the thing I need you to do. Or even God moving your circumstances. When I was coming here, it was really about God's moving of my circumstances that brought me here. No divine revelation or incredible thing, but it just turned out that, you know, I got an email and it told me about this job. And then I went for the interview and I was wondering where to go. And God directed my path. And sometimes it's just like, this is the way. And really important thing to remember is when you're making a decision, you can trust God. Sometimes we're just waiting for God to say something, and sometimes we might not really hear it, but we can trust God to make a decision when we're in that situation, because even if it's a wrong decision, he's God still, isn't he? He's sovereign. We have totally free will. We can do what we like, but even if we make a mistake, he can correct that, yeah? He can get us back on track. So we mustn't be fearful. A lot of Christians sometimes are like, oh, I can't make a choice because God hasn't told me yet. And so I'm not sure which colour shoes to wear today. So wait a minute, I'm staying in the house until God tells me which colour shoes. No, you can make a choice and trust that God will work it out. We know then what is conceived of the Holy Spirit, okay? Birthing something new, though, was going to come at a cost. It wasn't going to be easy, was it? You know, it was going to be costly to them. All the things we've already talked about to some degree. They were going to have a journey across Israel for about a week, we think. It wasn't going to be easy. We often see a donkey. We're not absolutely certain there was any donkey. We don't know. And they were going to end up getting to Bethlehem, nowhere to stay, in a stable, giving birth, no birthing suite or room or hospital or doctors or nurses, smelly, dirty, all those things. And then they were going to be exiles. They were going to have to run away to another country. Immigrants. Let's not go there, but they were immigrants. And we don't like immigrants, do we? What does God say about those things? We need to understand what God says about those things. He loves people. And we need to understand that when someone is in exile, what is the reasons? We can't put a blanket picture across all these things. Everybody's circumstance is individual to them. So these things we see in the news that are blanket statements, don't ever believe them. Go and say, well, actually, what circumstance are they in? Sorry, I've gone into one there. But they were immigrants. They were people sent out of their land to another land. We are all sent to other lands. You know, I know what it is to live in another land and have people laugh at me. Oh, he's a gringo. You know, and that's life, okay? It's okay. We are citizens of the kingdom, aren't we, Richard? And that means that we're of every nation, tribe, nationality, people. So, and we must stand for that. Sorry, I think this is God. We must stand for that, guys, as a church, as people. When people are out there getting mad about things that maybe they don't know the full facts, what is going on? And so if the Holy Spirit has conceived something, it will come to pass. However, you then have to choose to take the journey, don't you? Yes? So they've been told. Mary had seen the angel. Joseph had had a dream, okay? And they now knew. But then what comes along, there's going to be a census, and I want you to go to Bethlehem, and you're going to have to be there. And that whole situation came about, didn't it? And they had to choose to take that path still. If God is birthing something, you're going to have to choose to take the path. You're going to have to choose the way, and it might not be easy initially, and there may be challenges, but if God has said it, it will happen. Amen? You know, it's not by might nor by power. I say this often, don't I? I'm probably sick of it. Oh, here he goes again. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And so in conclusion, are you seeking to be obedient? In one sense, I've said a lot, but you can forget it all and just remember this. Are you seeking to be obedient? Do you listen to God? Are you responding with a heart of obedience like Mary did? Humbly responding and following God. Are you trusting like Joseph did? Even when we don't see the way, we trust the one who does. Yes? And finally, is the Holy Spirit conceiving something new in you? Just a little thought about birth, really. Birth is not an easy process, is it? And I, as a guy, can't really say anything, can I? But it's not, is it? You know, there's pain, there's a 9-month period, there's all kinds of changes. You as a family have to get ready, all of those things. And of course, it's tough. But at the other side of it, of course, there's a new life. And there's something wonderful. And there's the joy of it all, isn't there? Yes? And so we need to remember that it might be difficult and even costly, but something will come to pass through God's Spirit. What he said he will do, he will do. Amen. I'm just going to go into a moment of response. Danny, I wonder if we could have you back. And I wonder whether we could sing that song, the good old Noel Richards song, By Your Side. This song basically talks about our love relationship with God. You know, by your side I would stay, in your arms I would lay. Yeah, let's have the band. Yeah, sorry, the band. and there's one line in this song, which was the line that spoke to me all those years ago, and I hope it speaks to you this morning. And as we sing, if you feel challenged, if God has spoken to you and you need prayer, come forward. Maybe this morning you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart. You haven't fully gone, I want to trust God. He died for me. He's forgiven my sins and I need eternal life. Maybe you haven't made that decision. This morning you can do that. But as we sing, there's one line. I've said this a few times. I'm getting there. The word is this. Nothing from you would I withhold. Nothing from you would I withhold. So often our hearts are not really in line with God and we have to let the Spirit change us. And so this morning, are there things that maybe you're holding back? And the challenges we sing this morning, along with are you trusting, are you obeying, is the Holy Spirit conceiving? Don't withhold from God, because it's the best path. It might be challenging, it might be difficult, but we know there is eternal joy and there is a reward in following Him that is beyond anything human. It is a blessing of heaven. So let's sing this, and if you feel to come forward for prayer this morning, make your response. If not, make your response where you are. We'll maybe sit and sing, but respond as you feel to. Let's sing.
By your side, I would stay. Jesus, lover of my soul, nothing from you I withhold. Lord, I love you. I adore you. grows my love, to grow strong.